Hello and welcome. Roni's Own Media and Roni'sOwn.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time.
There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us.
Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show.
One, two.
Hey.
I think we're here.
I think so, too.
All right. Is everyone here? Okay, sweet. Okay, so this is not the Honey Boo Boo podcast. This is the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. One of many, and we are one in a million. And that's the way that is. So, anyhow, we are back with the land of the living. And thank you for your understanding last week, but it's a different week this week.
Yep,
so it is. I wanted to start by saying this is November 10th, 2012, and we're going to be covering emails and voicemails about Tallahassee and also about the doctor, strangely enough. So we will be going in the Wayback Machine a little bit and discussing a few things, so that's fine. Dude, that's why we're here.
Is it really November 10th?
It is November 10th.
Man, if not my, where did the year go?
I know. Yep.
Where has this month gone?
True. And so, yeah, we're in November, and it is that time of year. We have what I call Vancouver weather here in Orange County now.
It's
because
wonderful.
Because when we're in Vancouver, back in the end of August, early September, it was nice and cool.
Yeah, it was very nice.
And it was this type of weather that we're experiencing here. Because then when we got back, it was hot as hell and sweating.
I think it was hotter than hell. I think that, you know, the devil had to come here to cool,
the devil
to
was
warm,
sweating
up,
and,
warm up because hell was too cold for him.
All right. So we have, I don't think we have any housekeeping. Just
not that I can think of.
Let me do this really quick.
Okay. Whoa, what was that?
All right. All right, cool.
Okay.
So just remember, everybody in the chat room, be nice, be kind, be respectful. Pretty please. Thank you. All right, so let's jump in.
Okay.
I rewatched Tallahassee, and I wanted to kind of touch on a few things that I really came away with. And the one thing is I really bought the Emma Neal love story.
Yeah.
I really did. And I'll tell you why. It's because the writers did well by picking these seminal moments. It's kind of like if you've ever been in love, and I have.
Yep.
And I am in love. But, you know, that what?
Yeah. Really? Still?
Well, yeah. So, but that first, you know, couple of months or weeks or whatever it was for you, there's these certain moments that happen. And the love charges go off and you grow together and little things happen. And then the guys almost say the little word, you know, that stuff. And I think they really picked up on a lot of that and put it all together. And unfortunately they were both thieves, but anyway, But I really, I watched it again and I said, you know, I buy it. I bought this love story, you know, even within a section, not even a full half hour or an hour. You know, I did buy it. And so I just really wanted to say, because that's hard to do.
Yeah.
You know, because you watch a movie like Star Wars and you're supposed to buy Anakin falling in the eyes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So the other thing that stood out was the the mama bear moment that Snow exhibited when she ran over and knocked Mulan down and held her down. I was like, that was intense. Very intense.
Yes, that was. That was very, very mama bear.
And I was taken aback. I mean, there have been a lot of emotional moments. I think one that stands out is the scream that Regina screamed at her mother right before she shoved her through the looking glass.
Mm-hmm.
But this mama bear is another one. I was like, wow, that's look out.
Yeah.
Be careful.
Yeah.
Move on. You know, I know Emma told you that, but look out, man.
Don't mess with Snow when you're messing with her daughter.
And again, I just August being the Yoda, I really enjoy that part of the series.
Yeah.
Because he comes in and he has the right thing to say and he kind of nudges people back into play. And I was thinking about this because I remember a couple of the emails and voicemails that really took Rumple and Mr. Gold to task, but especially Rumple to task about Regina.
Mm-hmm.
Rightly so. I'm not giving him a pass. But my question is, if Rumple is Regina's Emperor Palpatine, like we knew in Star Wars, mm-hmm. when he's kind of guiding Anakin to be Darth Vader in the end.
Yes.
You know, there's that picture that we've all seen of the angel on one side and the devil on the other side, and we're influenced to do good or bad, you know, whatever. If Rumple is Regina's devil, let's say, or mm-hmm. the evil manipulator,
yeah,
who was the good? Was there ever a good?
Wouldn't that be Jiminy Cricket most of the time?
Well,
you know.
Okay.
Depends on who you're talking about.
Regina.
For Regina, I don't know.
And I think that's kind of a valid question because, on the other hand...
Could it be her dad?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Because it seems to me that he loved her, but I think he would have been the one who was trying to, you know, he did kind of say, don't try to...
Right.
You know.
That's
don't
true.
Don't let this consume you. Let's just go be, you know, you don't need to do this. So I think he seems like he would be.
Yeah.
Or at least he was at one point in time.
Yeah.
Till she took his heart.
And his life. And but no, I was just thinking about that because Emma did have August kind of at certain points. And now we see August kind of doing the same thing again
mm-hmm.
for Neil.
Yeah.
And also, in a way, for Henry, too.
Yeah.
Remember he said, you know, don't look for... important things in a mine, you know, read, look in a book like your book. So anyway, I'm just thinking about that, but that's very good. So it was her dad. Her dad loved her and tried to help on the way. And again, I watched the discussion between Emma and the giant
mm-hmm.
and I loved it. I really thought it was great, you know, because being the giant of Jack and the Beanstalk, obviously he had to go, you know, and run around and get mad and get upset, you know. He didn't say fee, fi, fo, fum, but he did get upset. And it was just a really cool moment when Emma was talking through him, through that little cage that he was caught in. And, you know, they became friends.
Yeah.
At least friends for 10 hours so he could keep Hook there. That wily Hook, you know, boy.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that I still don't know what they're going to do without the ashes of the cabinet or the
wardrobe.
Right.
Yeah.
All they got was the compass. I don't know what they're going to do. So,
well, I think it's going to take them somewhere where they need to be. But
okay. All right. All right. So.
But I think there's still stuff that they're going to need.
But my favorite thing about Tallahassee is this. And it's very geeky, but it's a really cool thing. The fun real place notation for once in Once Upon a Time when they says Vancouver, Canada.
Oh, yeah.
And they were in Vancouver, Canada, and yep. It said so on the screen, and that's exactly where they were.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
And I was just chuckling. Because I looked and there was that hotel.
The Pan Pacific.
That they built to look like a cruise ship. Mm-hmm. And then across
awesome.
The...
That's across the bay.
Yeah, across the bay. You could see all the buildings and all that. But we drove by that mm-hmm. on our incredible little kind of a moving tour of
yep.
the city.
Yep.
We saw the bus station where Henry got the cab. Mm-hmm. And got off the bus, but we only saw him catch the cab.
Right, we saw.
And then the Gotham Steakhouse, which is not too far from there. And then kind of on the way around, we did see gorgeous downtown Vancouver.
Oh,
so,
yeah, it's beautiful.
So beautiful. And
it reminded me of a combination of San Francisco and San Diego.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, true.
A lot of similarities.
True. Stanley
Park.
Two
of my favorite cities, actually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Stanley Park is gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
And really according nice. To what they said, they are still kind of filming here and there. I think they filmed two episodes ago at Stanley Park. But I will never forget the trip there, ever, ever, ever. And I know that there's two people in the chat room now. I know Mark Davis is in the chat room and mm-hmm. Ima, mm-hmm. maybe Sarah, too. So
Paige is there as
Paige,
well.
Paige, yeah. So, you know, when I start talking about these things, they're going to go, yeah, that's right. So
shared experiences.
Yeah, very, very cool.
Slightly different, but shared experiences.
Yeah, and the one last thing I do want to say is I want to give a shout out to Kate from Sarah's Old Fashioned Ice Cream in Steveston.
Mm-hmm.
She is just so cool. Such a great lady. And it was so neat to meet her. And so if she's listening or downloading later, just want to send her big love for sure and say hey. And,
yeah.
And I don't know. You know, we may make it up again. We'll see. But not likely.
It'll be a while.
So
it wouldn't be like next month or anything. It would be a while.
If I win the lottery, we're taking a jet. And we're just hanging out. So we'll get a tent and live out in...
Yeah, pretty much if we just drop everything and go to Vancouver, we won the lottery.
Right.
That's just the reality of it.
Yeah. So I think my equipment will be upgraded at that point.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of things upgraded at that point.
All right. So something new here.
What's
and
that?
Here we go.
And now, Once Upon a Time News.
Yay!
Yay! Check that
Woo-hoo!
Out.
It worked.
Woohoo!
And we have news from the Once Upon a Time area, planet, galaxy, whatever. So the first thing we're going to talk about is Ian Bailey. My man, Ian Bailey.
Yeah.
He,
I like Ian.
He got a new role in a pilot for TNT, and the pilot's called Trooper.
Oh, okay.
So in the pilot, Ian plays James Burke. A state trooper who serves as a by-the-books partner of a more conventional main character, KJ Flaxton, played by Mia Sorvino. And,
Mira Sorvino?
Mira. What did I say?
Mia.
Well, Mia meant Mira. So
okay.
So yeah. And, you know, the question is, what does that mean for Once Upon a Time? You know, and we're going to kind of dig into more of this, you know, as the emails and things progress. But these great parts of the story that don't seem to have kind of a locked in full arc are kind of going off and doing, because they're great actors.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Giancarlo Esposito.
Oh, my gosh.
Tearing it up.
Yeah, he is.
In Breaking Bad.
Well, and, he's off Breaking Bad now. Okay. He's dead on Breaking Bad.
Revolution.
But Revolution, he's kicking it on Revolution, right. Which is such a great show. But anyway.
So Jesse Schramm.
Last Resort.
Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. also Falling Skies here and there. Mm-hmm. So now Ian Bailey's got something going on.
Yeah.
So these are great actors. Sebastian Stan did a little thing not too long ago. So, I mean, they're... An Emmy-nominated show is now being noticed for the great talent that has been in the show. And yeah. So, anyway.
And that's, and like you said, that's the problem is when you have these amazing actors, it's great for the show, but then they end up getting other stuff, and then you're like, well, crap, now we don't get to see them on our show anymore.
Right. And so, yeah, I mean, good on him for that. But, you know, then you start asking questions like, well, what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. So, but I know that they worked around Jamie Dornan's schedule. And I think they filmed that last scene for the finale earlier. I mean, they just, you know, he said, look, I can be over in whatever time. And they said, okay, fine. We'll shoot in a blue screen or a green screen area. We'll get all the actors together. We'll shoot the scene. And then, you know, you're free to go. And they had what they needed. But, you know, I mean, that's the only plus of the whole green screen idea is you can do that kind of stuff.
Right.
So,
right.
But yeah, second up is Beverly Elliott. And there was an article in the Vancouver Sun. They call her Granbo. I had no idea.
That's awesome.
Granbo.
That's awesome.
That's not my term. That's just what they call, Beverly Elliott. And it said Vancouver actress Beverly Elliott didn't originally get a chance to try out for the role of Granny, as in Little Red Riding Hood's Granny, on Once Upon a Time. The now 51-year-old actress told The Sun she originally wasn't brought in to audition because she was considered too young. Then, just before searching for grannies in Los Angeles, the casting directors suggested to the producer give Elliot a look. Soon after the audition, Elliot found herself getting a call asking if she knew how to knit. We know the rest of that story.
Mm-hmm.
And we know who taught her how to seem like she was knitting.
Yeah.
And I think, actually, we did interview the knitress who created Emma's blanket.
Yeah, that would be just knitter, sweetie, not knitress.
I'm creating new terms. But Caitlin, we interviewed Caitlin, and she worked with Beverly to look like she knew how to knit. And I believe she did learn.
She learned how to knit, yeah.
And Jennifer Goodwin, I know, has been into their store. I believe it's called Bad Anna's.
Bad Anna's, like she...
In Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
It's not close to Steveston. I think it's farther... No,
closer to downtown, I think. Yeah. I thought it was somewhat close to Granville Island, if I remember correctly.
I believe that's true.
Not on Granville Island, just close to it. But anyway, yeah. Ginny knows how to knit,
yep.
And I want to say Megan was with them.
I believe so.
Megan was with her, too.
There was a visit. I do recall somebody told me there was not a photo of the visit,
no.
But there was a visit.
But there was a visit,
yes.
Yeah.
So,
and speaking of knitting, I'm actually knitting right now. So.
She is knitting. I am not. You don't want me to knit and talk at the same time. Just not good. So anyway, I will continue with this story. She lied and said she did. Then I immediately went to a knitting store and got some lessons. And we know who gave her the lessons.
Yeah.
And I've been hanging around ever since. Even though she's been only in half the episode, she's made a big impression with a small part. The owner of a town cafe, capping the show's pilot episode, what became the show's signature line in ad campaigns, "Welcome to Storybrooke." And Elliot has picked up more than 3,000 Twitter followers. And she's kind of, you know, really, people are really... They think it's awesome that she's, you know, a granny, but she's got a crossbow. She's not sitting on a chair on the front porch. She's out running around.
Right.
You know, so anyway.
She's
Beverly Elliott, and she's a singer. and we played one of her songs on the
past
show.
Yeah, she's actually really good.
She is. And she's actually pretty well known up in the Vancouver.
Yeah.
And probably Canada. So.
Yeah, probably. Yep.
Okay, ratings for Once Upon a Time. They have grown for the third straight week. And what is really interesting is Once Upon a Time is up against football. So it's kind of...
Sunday Night Football, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, who would have thunk it? Because remember, I don't know if you remember last season, we were worried. Because of football.
Yeah, because football does kind of interfere.
So, you know, I remember the conversations I had with some people, and it was like, well, we'll wait till football's over, and then we'll get stronger ratings and all that. But we are doing pretty well. So, excellent. So now what I want to do is play this.
And here are the very cool listener voicemails.
Wow. Another one. We're getting fancy, aren't we?
I had a busy afternoon.
I guess you did.
I really, really did. And so one of the voicemail people said that I would play this last, but I will play this first. So here we go.
Hello, Jeff and Colleen and all the wonderful Once Upon a Time fans. This is All Day Tammy, and I was calling to share some thoughts about the episode Tallahassee. I know I'll probably be played last, so somebody will...
No, I'm playing you first, Tammy.
And by the way, Tammy's in the chat room right now, so...
I'm playing Tammy's first.
Nice.
So we're switching it up a little bit, so thank you for calling in. I'm playing you first. So, here we go.
Probably say what I'm about to say, but anyway. I wanted to say that I did agree with you guys. It was lovely to see... oh my gosh, I can't remember. It was lovely to see a happier side of, oh my gosh, where's my mind gone?
It's okay. It's okay. We know.
Yeah.
Yep.
We have days like that.
Happier side of Emma. Oh, a happier side of Emma because, you know, she's so tortured. And so I guess, you know, I guess she was so happy. And when your happiness is taken away, I guess that's what makes her the way she is. And I wanted to share some of my thoughts about Neil. I don't know if anybody paid attention or said anything about it already, but when they were in the hotel room and Emma had the dream catcher, and he had this weird look on his face, like, you know, when she said, you know, should we take you with us? He was like, bring it with us. Like he might need that. Like he was having bad dreams, like Sleeping Beauty and later on in the show, like Henry.
Wow. I didn't catch that.
I didn't either.
But definitely, he did have a look on his face. I do remember that. Huh.
Hmm. Interesting. I have to
Very
pay attention
cool.
to that
Very
again.
Cool.
So, I thought that was really interesting. Also, I was thinking about... I still haven't given up my theory that Neil is Rumpel Stiltskin's son. I think that this episode may have just been thrown in, should maybe kind of take our minds off of him being Bay, but I think he still is Bay. And I think that in a weird twist of fate, that favor that Emma owes Gold may play some kind of part down the line.
And that's a popular theory that mm-hmm. he is Bay, and we do see some characters having two roles. Actually, two characters. So,
right.
You know, definitely Henry's father, at least that's what we're seeing. And could be possibly Bay.
Mm-hmm.
So they do play with you. They do kind of show you this and show you that. And so,
yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
What really is Bay. Also, I think Neil knowing. August. That I think that plays into what we said last season, where we were trying to figure out at some point who August was talking to on the phone, trying to see if him and they knew each other before coming to Storybrooke. Anyway, those are just a few of my thoughts. Big love to everybody, and look forward to hearing the podcast. Okay, thank you guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Tammy, thanks so much. And yeah, who is Bay? Who did he keep in contact with? Those are valid questions.
Yeah, you know? I mean, it looked like, and I think we can pretty confidently say that that was the first time they met each other. Was when he grabbed him when he was trying to go sell those watches and stuff. But who knows whether or not he kept in contact with him afterwards?
He seemed. Yeah, he didn't freak out too. He freaked out a little bit, but I don't know.
Yeah, but not a lot.
Yeah, yeah. So, but that was a pretty cool moment. I mean, that's a huge question we've had, you know, since last season is where has Bay been?
Right.
Who has he been in contact with? Anybody, somebody. And, you know, I mean, one of the questions I have is, did he ever get over to the safe haven? Where did he end up when he went through the portal? You know,
right.
And so we've seen a couple of different places where people end up when they go through. So it's still one of those kind of open-ended questions. But yeah. Okay. I will continue. And here is the next voicemail.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen. It's Dave from Michigan. I haven't been calling in as often as I would like, but I thought I would call because I'd like to say, holy crap, I was right. When I suggested back toward the beginning of the season, I don't remember if it was right before or after the first or second episode, I called in with a theory to you guys that Henry's father knew about the curse and left her alone, but she didn't realize that him doing it was for her own good. And I thought it was kind of a crackpot theory that wouldn't come to pass, and I was completely shocked when this episode started. And then when I saw August, I started going, oh, my God, I was right. Oh, my God, I was right. You know, it's one of those theories I didn't think would ever actually happen. I just thought it out there as one of those crackpot ideas. So I am very, you know, I was shocked and flabbergasted and very excited, and I couldn't wait to call you guys to say that and see if you guys remember it. And I'm stumbling over my word. All right. Well, I'm hopefully going to watch it a couple more times, and if I can, I'll call you guys. Have a good one.
Congrats. And that's a lot of the fun of watching this show is, you know, sometimes you're right, sometimes you're not right.
Right.
But when you're right, it's like, wow, I've seen you, Mrs. Roney, jump around a little bit in the living room.
Yep.
This was before we had Lady, our mascot.
Yeah.
But yeah, you have jumped around a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so it is exciting when you are right about a theory.
Yeah.
On Once Upon a Time.
Yes, that is true. And it's really hard not to gloat sometimes.
But you know,
I'm gonna be honest, I'm a human.
I know, but it's fun just playing along and
it
you know,
is.
Getting
it
involved.
Is. It really so. Is. I do enjoy having theories that come to pass.
Yeah. I have yet to have one. I create the most wacky, crazy theories, and they make perfect sense to me, and they never pan out. They just don't.
Because you're not a lawyer like me.
I'm not a lawyer, but I like stories.
I'm not really a lawyer either, though I sometimes wish I was. But
we
I
live in the that. Wrong house if you're a lawyer. We'll say that.
We live in the wrong area.
All right. We will continue with the next awesome voicemail, as our voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast has said.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Hi, this is Rick from Crystal Lake, Illinois, and it's been a while since I called in, but I had to share one little thought I had about the recent episode, which I thought was amazing. Since both Aurora and Henry said that the room they were in was red walls and red curtains, it made me wonder, since the sleeping spell frequently has to do with eating an apple or something that was made from an apple, I wonder if the imagery about the red had to do with, like, being entrapped inside of an apple.
That's a very interesting point.
Hmm.
And then that's exactly true, because I had forgotten. I mean, the only thing is, we don't know if, but Aurora could have been given an apple.
She could have been, but we don't know.
For sure.
I mean, the real story, no. But in
right.
But in Once Upon a Time,
yes.
You know, that's a possibility. So it'd be interesting.
Yep. Very, yep. Apple, red, which, you know, is a prominent thing.
Right. Red's a power color.
Yep.
So.
And then in the core, usually in your core, we have all these different places for the seeds. You know, could that be the area that they were all in and they're looking at each other? Because I agree. I think that it was Henry looking at Aurora and Aurora looking at Henry. But maybe their image is distorted with the whole red eye thing. So they don't really know that they're looking at other human beings. So anyway, that was my thought, that maybe it was, you know, supposed to symbolize being trapped in some kind of a apple-induced sleep. Anyway, you guys are doing a great job. Keep it up. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank you so much, Rick. And that is a very interesting point. I had never thought about that.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, it's hard to say whether or not they did see each other and, you know, so through some distorted view of some sort, or if it was, you know, I kind of lean toward more towards, it was whoever is, pursuing them. Like for Henry, it would be Cora, and for Aurora, it's somebody else we don't know at this point. So maybe the ghost of, or the, you know, the ghost of Philip, or some sort of, like, you know, wraith character of sorts, you know what I mean?
Very, very interesting. Thank you so much, Rick, for the voicemail.
Mm-hmm.
And here is the next voicemail.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen, it's Tyler. I'm actually on my way to work right now, but after listening to your first thoughts and having watched the episode, I had to watch it late. I was down at my desk shop working on the holiday decorations, and oh my goodness, it's amazing. Darth Vader's wearing a Santa hat. That's all I'm going to say there. I may post some pictures at some point, but it's awesome down there. But when it comes to Once Upon a Time, I wanted to bring up specifically that nightmare that both Henry and Aurora had, because Aurora described seeing a man on the other side of the flames that, you know, she didn't know or whatever. And Henry described seeing a woman. I think they saw each other. And I could be wrong, but I honestly think that they saw each other in that. And that once they, you know, I think it's going to first be Aurora describe who she sees to Snow and Emma. And they're going to say, that sounds like Henry. And then they're going to try to use it as a communication between the two lands to figure out, you know, that way they can talk to each other. I think that's where this might be headed. I could be wrong, and I will totally own up if I am, but that's where I see that going. And, you know, it's interesting. When the guy, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but when Emma's guy said, you know, meet me at 9 p.m. sharp, at that moment, I figured it was going to be a setup. Not because of what happened. I just figured it was going to be a setup from the get-go. And then August came, and that totally made my day. I'm surprised you couldn't hear me shouting for joy from where you were. It was amazing. Because I'm like you, I like August. So I'm going to leave it at that. It'll take a couple more watchings before I think more, but you guys all have a wonderful day. I am on my way to work, and yes, you do hear Disneyland Christmas Parade in my background. My car, phone, and laptop have already been holiday themed, so. Okay, I'll talk to y'all later. Bye.
Thanks, Tyler. And
yeah, thanks.
That is very interesting. It's almost like kind of an avatarish thing where they're represented somewhere else in an area. And they may have the opportunity to communicate. That's
if that's who they're seeing, sure. Right, right. I mean, I, who knows? Yep. Maybe that is a possibility.
The only other thing I was thinking is maybe they're kind of leaning toward this next episode. You know, Red, I don't know. So, I mean, Red Room with, you know, it's one of those things where they mention it and you may not see it for a while and then you see it. The only other fire room with that was on fire was when Rumpelstiltskin stole the dagger.
Mm-hmm.
That everything was on fire. I mean, there was a fire in...
he set the fire.
Right, right. But there was also another fire in the...
I don't recall the walls being red, though. They were made of stone.
I know. But that's the only... that's the only thing I could think of, but
yeah.
You know, could be the apple, it could be some other place. You know, it kind of reminds me actually, you know, story from the Bible, the abyss, seeing a cross, you know, flames or something. Yeah. So, but that's very that is very interesting. And again, the writers do such a great job. We're still talking about it.
Yeah,
we're still theorizing about it. So I mentioned it before. These are great writers, love the show, and they find these little things that people kind of go, I wonder what that is. I wonder, you know. So, great job again, Eddie and Adam. And here is the next voicemail.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen. It's Karen in Maryland. In case you hadn't heard, Eddie and Adam confirmed that the thing that Emma wears around her neck is the fob from the keychain that Neil gives her in this episode. And I thought you'd like to know in case you hadn't heard that yet. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you much. That is very cool.
No, and I didn't know that. I hadn't heard that.
So that little thing that he stole and he gave to her.
Yes.
Yeah, he said, I got you. You know, and it is kind of funny, you know, a thief saying, I got you something. You know, I stole this for you.
Yeah.
But that is very, very neat. And then that's what she got in the envelope from the guard in the minimum security prison.
Yep.
Facility, I think they called it. So, and then she wears it around her neck. It's almost kind of like a class ring of some kind.
Yeah, a little bit.
You ladies like to do that. Wear things and
mementos of love's past sometimes.
Regina wore the ring.
Yep.
Daniel.
So, right.
Yep. All righty. And we move forward to the next voicemail. Here we go.
Hey, guys. This is Dave from Michigan calling with a little bit of sad news. I just saw a promo on ABC that the American Music Awards will be live Sunday, November 18th, starting at 8 p.m., which means this week's episode coming up of Once Upon a Time will be the last time we will get to see a new episode for 2 weeks. I thought I would call and give everybody a heads up so that when you see the commercial that says, in 2 weeks, you're not surprised and trying to figure out what's going on. All right, bye.
Dude.
Thank you so much. And I had been watching... there is a Wikipedia link that has the episode names and the episode dates. And I knew that it was coming up. Thank you for reminding me for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the 11th tomorrow is going to be, you know, the episode. And then there's going to be a 2 week gap. So the next one will be the 25th of November. And
which is right after Thanksgiving.
The last episode in this first set of nine is December 2nd. I don't see any more after that. Now I'm not saying there's going to be no more, but what I'm saying is that's probably that first set, and then there's going to be a hiatus, and there's going to be another set of whatever.
Well, I don't know that there'll be much of a hiatus. There might be a week or two, but I can't imagine it'll be very long.
Well,
the only reason I say that is because I believe they ordered, I thought they ordered like 26 episodes.
Okay, but what I'm saying is that they better get hopping, because I know there's certain sites that are the first to announce the names and dates and all this kind of stuff. They better get hopping, because all I see is up to December 2nd, the Queen of Hearts episode. And that's it. Okay. So, I mean, you know, Wikipedia isn't the end all be all of the world, but
no, just saying. Anyway, but it is usually pretty accurate.
Yep.
But that's probably because they're still filming those episodes now.
Sure. But I mean, usually they release the names of the episodes
in advance. Yeah, right. I know.
Okay, so I did want to quickly go through the number of U.S. viewers for the episodes just while I'm here, because I didn't have a chance to do it before. We talked about the ratings going up. So let me give you an idea. Okay, Broken was 11.36 million viewers. We Are Both, episode 2, was 9.84 million viewers. That was a drop. Lady of the Lake, episode 3, 9.45, another drop.
But tiny right. drop.
The Crocodile, episode 4, 9.89. So that's above the second episode.
Right.
Episode number 5, The Doctor, 9.85. It was a tiny drop. Tallahassee, though, episode 6, was 10.15. So we've gone back up, you know, to all the previous lows, almost just underneath the Broken episode. So... I think we're doing well. I think we're coming back, and especially against football. That's incredible. So
yeah.
Now definitely the audience is mostly.
Do you have something playing in the background? Because I can hear it in my headset.
No.
Oh, yeah. I hear music.
Okay.
Oh, I wonder if it's my computer.
That's possibly.
There it is. I was like freaking out going, I'm hearing something. Anyway.
We're getting old. We're hearing things, people.
Yeah.
All right. So that was that. And let's get back to our voicemail. So thank you so much, Dave, for that. And we will move forward. Here we go.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen. It's Tyler from Seattle. What to say? Well, firstly... it was definitely an interesting day, long day. I'm sure everyone was probably watching their go-to news station. For me, it was CNN most of the day if they could. Definitely an interesting day, to say the least. I'm pretty thrilled about what happened for my state, for the most part. But getting aside from all that, into Once Upon a Time. I remember you guys have mentioned that you have had interesting chats with your bosses at work about Once Upon a Time, and I just thought I would share that yesterday when it was just me and the boss at the Halloween store for quite a few hours, the first 2 hours of it, we were geeking out about Once Upon a Time and talking about how next year we think we should have a whole section that's themed to Once Upon a Time, whether they're official costumes or not, just have...
I think that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a very good idea.
Yeah.
You tell your boss that Jeff Roney thinks it's a good idea.
Exactly.
He's not going to know who I am, but tell him anyway.
No,
just say, and then say Jeff and Lady and Colleen. He'll know Lady.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, maybe
she's
not.
Sleeping.
Okay,
she's
here we go.
Sleeping.
Any character that's been in Once Upon a Time be in that area. It was pretty fun. So thought I'd mention that. I noticed some pictures online today of Tom Hanks filming his new movie at Disneyland, and it looks like it's going to be pretty cool because Tom Hanks as Walt Disney looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, so if you hadn't heard, and I think there may be some people that don't know, there is a film, I believe it's called Saving Mr. Banks.
Yes, it is.
And it is about Walt Disney and the pre-work going up to make Mary Poppins.
Yes.
And how he was courting, that sounds a bad term, when he was trying to work with the writer of the story mm-hmm. to get the rights to it and make the film.
Yep.
And if you're going to film make a movie about Walt Disney, you're going to have to show Disneyland. And Disneyland is one of those rare parks that rarely change. It changes. But something like Sleeping Beauty's Castle, there's been some tweaks here and there, but
it's definitely changed.
It has changed, but you know.
Yeah, and if you really look at the old pictures, it's pretty noticeable.
Yeah, but anyway, they filmed it there.
Yeah, they did.
And so it's kind of suspension of disbelief. There's probably going to be this horde of fans that go, it doesn't look the same. They should have CG'd out that back wall and blah, blah, blah. So, but anyway, I was seeing tweets and things, and there were some extras dressed up in 1960s clothes walking by. And so it was really kind of interesting. No, I was not there. I was working crazily. But anyway, one day when I win that lottery, I will be there. And I'll just hang around and meet Mr. Hanks.
Yep.
I didn't meet, but I walked like 3 feet from Gene Siskel at Disneyland one time.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. He was standing against the thing. I think they were filming one of their shows there or something. So.
Oh, okay.
He bought the...
A lot of celebrities go to Disneyland.
I know.
And I do mean a lot.
Okay, one more rabbit trail and I'll get back on. He bought the white suit from Tony, what's his name, in Saturday Night Fever. He bought the white suit.
That John Travolta wore?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, so we will continue. Sorry about that, Tyler. We're back on track.
So, I'll talk to y'all later. I need to watch the episode again still for more thoughts. My boss is hoping that there's some sort of chance that the guy that we just met in Tallahassee is going to turn out to be Robin Hood somehow. Could be cool. Just thought I'd share what she thought. Okay. Hi, guys.
Could be. Hmm. Anything's possible.
Yeah.
You know, my thing is there was the gentleman at the convenience store. His face looked like a face that could be some kind of character. But then again, I thought Mr. Krakowski, Mr. K, I thought he was going to be something. Because he looked like the Mad Hatter from the cartoon, the Alice in Wonderland cartoon.
Oh.
Boy, was I wrong. Again, I have a list of, you know, I should put a list of all my theories that just were wrong. You've had better luck, mm-hmm. but I have not. But I keep trying. All right, here is the next voicemail.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen, it's Karen in Maryland. I just got caught up on all the podcasts for the last couple of weeks, and I noticed how really over and over again, Colleen, you've been kind of really fretful about Dr. Whale being Dr. Frankenstein. And it occurred to me that, yes, I agree with you, that was too easy. But maybe they just did a Halloween twist and that's going to be the end of it. I mean, well, we're going to find out who his brother is or why that's so important. But I hope for your sake, I hope for my sake that they just did a Halloween kind of show and not to worry about it. Anyway, I'm blabbering. Have a good evening. Good night.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And I think Colleen echoes your call.
Yeah. So. I do. I still think he's going to turn out to be somebody else and that the Frankenstein part came out for Halloween and hopefully that's the last time we'll see it.
Well, we'll be discussing more of this as the show progresses. So mm-hmm. just so that you know. But here's the thing. Here's the thing I wanted to say right off the bat is we are fans of the show.
Yep.
This is a fan podcast.
Absolutely.
There have been times where people love certain parts of the show and other people did not like that part, but they like something else. And so
we're in the same boat.
We have never gotten to a point where we felt like we should say something. But the doctor put us to that point where we kind of went, we didn't look for it. Look, and I know at the beginning of the show, it says storybook characters. I get all that, and we'll kind of walk through that. But the thing is, it was a shock. Now, I will say this, and it's not going to preclude me from talking later. I have more room with the story looking into science versus magic. But the whole Frankenstein thing is still, it doesn't fit to me. But, you know, anyway, that's just, I have more room than Colleen does.
Uh-huh, you do.
So,
I'm just
so that you understand, we're still fans of the show. We still give the show big love, but there's just, it was like a bump in the road. It's like, wow, what, wow, where did that come from? I don't know. Yep. And like we mentioned a few weeks ago, and I don't want to go over this week, but there were people that were freaking out about the magic mirror being the genie and the mirror, and that Rumpelstiltskin was the Beast and Rumpelstiltskin. I mean, there were people that were like, what? So anyway, but you know, at the end we said, you know, we built a bridge, but.
And we're
there'll
done.
There'll be some more. Well, but there'll be more discussions coming.
Oh, probably.
All right. So just keep knitting, my little cute knitter. Here we go.
Hi, Colleen. Hi, Jeff. This is Karen in Maryland. I was doing some math, and I know that this doesn't have any outcome, doesn't change the outcome of anything. But it's just when after I figured it out, I realized... Oh, for this episode. Okay, Emma is 28, turns 28, opening day of this show. She has an 11-year-old son, which means the day before when she was 27, she had an 11-year-old son, which means that she was 16 when she gave birth. Even though I've heard... it thrown out that she was 17. Well, she was really 16 when she gave birth, which probably means that she met Neil late 15, early 16. Anyway, the whole point is how young they had to make her look in the flashback part. Jennifer make her look like she was 15 or 16 when she... meets Neil. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there when I realized it was how young she really was or supposed to be. That's all. Take care. Bye.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. But actually, I do need to make this statement. Henry is not 11. He's 10. She had him when she was 18. She even said to Cinderella or Ashley that she was 18 when she had her kid because Ashley was 19. So... I'm saying that she is probably 17 because she was with Neil for a very short period of time before she ended up in jail. And so if she was 17, even if she had just turned 17 or was mid-17, she could have very easily had Henry at 18 right before she turned 19. So I'm saying she was not 15 or 16 when she met Neil. They were not together for very long. I don't believe it didn't seem like they were together all that long. And if she'd met him when she was early 17, yeah, she was, Henry's not 11. He's 10. That's been established in the show.
Well,
as well as the year she gave birth, how old she was when she gave birth. I'm just saying. So she was not 15 or 16. But yes, granted, I agree with you. They had to make her look 17.
Yeah.
So
I think the glasses were a good touch.
Mm-hmm.
Because normally girls are 17-ish, 18-ish,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of wear glasses, you know. And unless you're richer and, you know, can buy... contact lenses or something.
Well, and she was by herself. I mean, she was on her own. So yeah,
right. So, and the straight hair in the jail too looked very young to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they did a good job making her look younger.
Yeah,
and
but remember, she's only supposed to be 28 now anyway.
I know. But you know what I noticed too is just the kind of. The hopping around stuff and grabbing onto Neil's arms. And I mean, that was kind of very young acting. So,
right. Yep. Right. And like I said, I mean, if you want to do the math, a woman's gestational period is 40 weeks. If you go actual, like, birth time, that's 9.5 months.
I didn't know that we were going to have
anatomy lesson?
Education in anatomy and
hey,
biology.
We are a different podcast. We.
Okay. All right.
We are. And educational. We are a different podcast. No, but no, I mean, even if she had Henry early, even if she gave birth to him early, that's what I'm saying. She still was, she met Neil when she was 17, probably early 17, maybe had just turned a few months before, or within a very short period of time. They were together just under a year, it seems, maybe even less than that, but it was, I don't think it was more than a year. And she had Henry and she had him. She probably turned 19 not too long after she had him. Anyway, that's my theory. That's what I'm sticking to. So
okay.
Maybe somewhere, someday, somebody will explain it.
Okay, let's go ahead and we will play this. Go ahead. Hey, everybody. All of us here at the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast want to wish you the happiest of holidays. And we know that they are quickly approaching. And I just want to take a quick second and remind you that we do have an affiliate link over at Amazon. It's store.onceuponatimepodcast.com. And if you use that link and shop in Amazon like you normally would, we get a small percentage, which helps pay for the podcast. And we want to keep it free, and we don't want to charge anything. And we don't want to add too many different ads and things into the show. But we want to remind you that if you do your Amazon shopping through our affiliate link, it's store.onceuponatimepodcast.com. We will get a percentage back. And it's going to help pay for the podcast. So thank you so much. And again, happy holidays.
I had a busy afternoon.
You certainly
did. I was a mixing fool. So anyhow, that is the first hour. We're going to end it here. I want to thank everybody for listening and chatting live. And I also want to thank everyone for downloading, listening on the website. I want to send big love out to everybody. This is an incredible journey, and we still continue to move on this journey. But thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. See you guys.
Thank you for being a part of this podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. And if you want to know more about how my voice acting services might work for you, check out MediaVoiceovers.com. And now, all of us here at Roni's Own Media and MediaVoiceovers.com look forward to sharing the love and enjoyment of the Once Upon a Time TV show next time. Take care.